I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
Oh, well, New Year's Eve. Sorry, New Year's Eve. Well, I was going to tell you about New Year's Eve.
Would you say happy, given that we're recording this, this may well be a little bit down the track.
Yeah, but
well into the still.
But it'll still be January.
But there is a sort
sick and tired,
sort of like a cooling off period that you can't.
Yeah,
that you can, but you can't really.
I'd say Happy New Year. That's right. Yeah. I guess in February you can't say it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
did you?
I didn't do much at all. But it was funny because my 15-year-old son wanted to go to a party in the park. He goes, "Dad, on Instagram, there's going to be like 40 or 50 people from school in this park. Can I go to this party?"
How old is he?
15.
Right.
I'm like, oh, and his mum's like, yeah, look, you know, you can go. I said, I'll drop you off and I'll suss it out. Oh, you can't get out of the car, Dad. I'm not going to get out of the car and wander around like my dad used to.
So from a distance?
From a distance. And yeah. So anyway, he's excited. He's got some snacks and a can of Fanta. Two cans of Fanta.
Like his dad.
Like his dad, exactly. And so I try past the park, and there's like six kids sitting in the dirt. And it's like, oh, God. It looked from what I could tell, miserable, right? Yeah. This is about 8:30 at night. So
yeah, long night.
My wife's like, don't get there too early. Oh, it starts at 8. Don't get there at 8, right? Yeah. Anyway, he gets out of the car, and I just drive off, right? And then I drive down a really long street, then I do a U-turn and check it out again. He's just sitting there with them in the not even sitting on a park bench, he's sitting in the dirt. It's like, this is like a great party. You know, by the time we get home, like, I go to the service station.
Yeah?
He's got a phone. They all got phones. He texts me, Dad, none of my friends are really here. I said, well, do you want me to pick, this is all on text message, do you want me to pick you up? Yes, but I don't know how to get out of this party.
Lifelong problem.
Yeah. And because you know, I'm a big fan of the Phantom.
Boom.
So I gave you one of my techniques. I said, this is what we're going to do. This is all in text messaging. On approach, I'll ring you. You answer the phone and go, oh God. Okay. While you're still holding the phone, you look at them and you go, I've got to go. And then you just walk off. And so,
good.
So I ring him up. I go, I'm here. Can you see my headlights? And he goes, oh, okay. I'm going to go, guys. And then he comes running to the car. I go, how did it work? He goes, oh, it was great. He goes, as I was walking off, they started a conversation about something completely different. They've forgotten me already. So the old O'Neill techniques, they work.
I don't know. I don't like the forgotten me already part.
Well, he didn't really know a lot of them. And there were kids from other schools there. The party had built up to 7 people.
Oh, no, I'm not having a go. I'm just saying that, you know, it's their problem in a way that they...
They weren't valuing his presence.
Yes, yes.
That's right. And so it's just like, look, I mean, I think it's a good policy. And I think when you're young, you do get... He said he gets FOMO if you're missing out with these parties and stuff.
At that age you do, absolutely.
Oh, it goes into your 20s and your 30s. Yeah. But you come to a point when you get to our age where you go...
Oh, please, can I miss out?
Yes.
How can I miss out? I plan my exit as soon as I walk in the door. I go, there's a door there. And then someone could get out the front door, and then there'll be people out in the front garden smoking.
What are you doing?
Where are you going? Yeah. You're not going, are you? Come here. Get you in a headlock. No, I wasn't going. So if you're with your partner, she's got to go.
Oh, no, but their partners are a problem because they want to say goodbye. I say, don't say goodbye.
No. Once you start, you got to do one, you got to do them all.
It's another half an hour.
Yep, it is another half an hour. Especially if you get near the door, you look at the door, and you go, if I go now...
Oh, man, I could be gone.
I could be gone. And then you hesitate, and then someone comes over and goes, oh, g'day.
Yeah.
Have I told you about... Anyway, New Year's Eve, we...
What'd you do?
I stole your idea, which was... We only had one friend over because she's single. And we said, look, you can come over, but 10 o'clock is New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Which you used
that's
to
what I've said to the kids. Yeah, 9:30 is New Year's Eve.
You used to wind the clocks forward, didn't you?
No. Oh, yes, I've done that method too, yes.
When they're younger, you wind it forward.
Yeah, you go, look, it's already midnight.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, so we just said 10 o'clock. And I'm thinking, oh, well, they're having a few drinks, so probably they'll probably settle in, it'll be all right. I tell you, we got to 10 o'clock. It was like she was hypnotized. As soon as 10 o'clock came, she goes, I'm ready to go now. Because I was going to drive her home, which I did.
Yeah, right.
So I picked her up. Pretty good service.
I tell you what, you're a good Uber driver.
Yeah, and then, you know, and I was pretty good with the conversation. Picked her up without Selena. and then drove back, chatted, good, and then took her home again, all good. Came back, watched the TV show, watched the final, what are you watching? Escape from Dannemora.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How good's that show?
It's great.
It's on Stan.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. That's Ben Stiller
directs it. Great. It's about two guys that get out of prison, escape out of prison.
It's pretty easy.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
I think the woman from it is
Patricia
suing.
Arquette. Yeah, Tilly. Yeah. She's
suing the production company for.
Oh, really?
For the way she was portrayed.
Wow. Well, she was portrayed in a pretty bad light, so.
You reckon?
Well, not really, but she was having sex with the prisoners. Anyway, is that the music? Spoiler alert.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast. Somehow Related.
And first one for 2019.
Oh, my God, yeah. And
because some have gone to air that were probably, let's be honest, were recorded before 2019.
This is fresh.
This is fresh.
This is like a Easter bun. It's in the shops now. And it's Dave O'Neill and
Glenn Robbins.
And we just get two topics that are unrelated, and we've got to work out how they're related. Let's get the topics from our Sam friend.
The topics are Al Capone and milk, thanks to Christy, who emailed us. She said, I am stuck in the car in traffic on Christmas Day on the way up to the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and your podcast is a great help.
Ooh, thanks, Christy.
Let me get this straight. Do you reckon she was stuck on the Sunshine Coast?
I tell you, I've been stuck on that highway sometime when I go to my brother's wedding or something. Yeah, there can be some traffic up there.
That's right, you can be. So it's obviously given her some... A little bit of relief.
Something to do,
something to work. Because the great thing about this podcast, and let's be honest, you can play at home. We don't encourage,
Googling.
Wagering
or,
putting bets on or dares on it. If you get it right, you have to drop your pants and run around or none of that.
No.
Or if you want to do that, then fine.
It's fine.
We don't encourage it. But people say to me that they stop me in the street and they say, aren't you that guy from?
And Somehow Related.
Somehow Related. I like it because I learned something.
Yeah.
We all learn something. Thanks to Sam. Because Sam, she doesn't take a holiday. She's diligently out there looking for new ideas.
Going through Wikipedia, Googling stuff constantly.
So
Al Capone.
Al Capone.
And milk.
And milk.
Well, I don't know much about Al Capone, but again, it's via TV that I know about him from Boardwalk
Empire. You do know a bit about him. Well, you know all your history from TV shows, Vikings.
Mainly, yes. Yeah. Boardwalk Empire, did you watch that?
I watched the first couple. I didn't click into the world series.
Steve Buscemi played the main guy.
Great actor.
It was Atlantic City in the Prohibition times, so the 20s and 30s.
Can you hear that?
The siren.
The siren.
Oh, my God.
That's appropriate. Wow.
It's Al Capone. They're getting Al Capone. So Al Capone was a big gangster in Chicago.
Chicago, what, the 20s, Prohibition?
20s, 30s, yeah. And I know, but people liked him. He was a bit of a...
Well, he gave a lot of money to charity.
Robin Hood character, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was winning people left, right and centre with the money that he gave to charity. And even, publicly, people going, you're right, mate. You're okay.
Yeah.
Little did they know what he was... Well, they probably did know, but they're going, on the face of it, you're doing some good stuff.
Yeah. But he was a pretty vicious criminal, wasn't he, Al Capone? I mean, I don't want to get whacked, but, And what I've seen from Boardwalker, he wasn't a nice guy. I don't know much more about Al Capone. He was just a big gangster.
Yeah, he was a gangster who did good and
he
bad.
Went to jail, though, for tax evasion or tax fraud. I saw that in Boardwalker, a movie or something like that. They didn't get him on murder or anything. They got him on tax reasons.
And then
he was obviously running a lot of businesses.
Died in prison. Died in probably a pneumonia or heart failure.
Okay.
One of those.
All right.
Hang
on, Sam's got some information.
Yes.
Al Capone died in prison after a cardiac arrest. It could have been avoided, but he hated needles and refused an injection of medicine.
Okay, so he didn't like needles.
That's interesting. Big tough guy.
Didn't like needles.
How do you go with needles? I'm right.
I'm fine with needles.
You'll find you watch it go in?
No.
Do you turn away?
Yes. Like when you get blood taken out of you, that's a needle, isn't it?
Did I tell you when I tried to give blood the other day? Not give blood, get blood taken for a test.
What happened?
First go, didn't work. Second go, didn't work. And they're not allowed to have two cracks.
Really?
Then they have to go and get someone else. They can't. I think they can only have two cracks.
So they have to find the vein, don't they?
And you should drink plenty of water and you should have a little exercise before you go. but couldn't find, bring another girl in, and then they stick it in and they start looking around for it. You're going, oh, God, that's really hurting. So then she finally gets a little bit, sends it off. I get a letter from the pathology company saying, wasn't right, need more. I'm going, I'm not going back to that same place.
No.
So now it's the third time, and I go in, because the two that had done me were like in their 20s.
Yeah, you want an experienced nurse.
Oh, hang on, I did go back, and the guy was, I said, how long have you been doing this for? And he goes, about 6 months. And now I showed him the letter, which said the last one didn't work, and he broke out into a sweat. He's going, we hate getting these letters because it means it's going to be hard. He tries twice, it really hurts.
Four.
And then he goes, I'll get someone else. You know what? No, I'm out of here. I'm not going to. So I leave, leave it a couple of days, and then go to another place. I walk in, the woman's about 65.
Great.
Put my arm down, bang, straight out, job done. I'm not having a go at anyone, but not, you know, but when you...
You're going to go to the millennials again.
Well, just, you know.
An older health professional.
Yeah. It's yeah. Just, if you, an old, yep. Yeah, she chatted away about making jam, which was, you know...
Great topic.
And she was going home to make jam that afternoon, and blood came out. Job done.
Bang.
Anyway, so... Al Capone. I used to go to a gym where... Shady characters.
Oh, mafia types.
I don't know. I wouldn't say they were mafia types. I would say, you know, probably the term known to the police, perhaps.
Oh. Do you talk to them? Because they often love comedians and footballers.
Yeah.
Love a bit of show business, those guys.
Yeah, and then I would go to sometimes they would have the fight nights, and then you go along. And
oh, they'd love that.
Oh, yeah, you just don't want to. And everyone turns up like they're, you know, on The Sopranos, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you're doing, hey. Everyone's hugging and kissing everybody. And, hey, Big Johnny, yeah, Johnny two times. How you doing?
Oh, you met Glennie over here, Glennie Robbins.
He's a boy. He likes
the
box. He's
a TV friend.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, I know one of my friend's kids went to school in Mooney Ponds at a Catholic girls' school where a lot of the dads were, you know, underbelly types.
Yeah.
And, the head nun didn't like, because some of these dads would pay the school fees in cash. and then at one assembly, he said the head nun got up and said, there are fathers of some girls here who are technically unemployed but drive Mercedes. And these men are not role models for you girls.
How dare she?
Like, she just really went them. And everyone's like, oh, my God, she's going like the mafia. But the nun, see, if that was in Italy or in Ireland like 30, 40 years ago, you'd just have been killed for that kind of stuff. But now in Australia, I assume the mafia guys just go, did you hear what sister?
I've been watching a series on the Pope at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's really interesting. Yeah. So corrupt.
Oh, man.
So corrupt.
Vatican.
Look, I mean, seriously, back in the 1500s, big parties, plenty of money. Plenty of shady types coming in there.
Oh, God.
If you did something wrong, you paid the church a bit of money, they go, okay, what do you call that? You're still going to heaven.
But even one of the teachers at school went to a Catholic school actually around here she wouldn't have gone in the 60s. She said the nuns used to just bash the poor kids. And the rich kids, they would not go near them. Because they go, that's so-and-so's child. He's donating money to the school. Yeah. Whereas you, whack, 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 whack. She said it was just corrupt back then. That was the 60s.
God.
Into the 70s.
I'm going to give you another whack.
Oh, have you been to the Vatican?
I've been to Rome, but I don't reckon.
Have the Vatican?
No.
Oh, God, last time I went, we went on a tour. Had I told you this before? And my wife was sick, and so this was like last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had to go on this tour of the Vatican. I said, look, I've already been to the Vatican twice, and I'm not a Catholic, and I don't want to go again.
And you went again.
Went again.
Took the kids to the Vatican.
Oh, my God, it was so crowded. And Michelangelo's, you go into Michelangelo Chapel, but it's very heavily policed. It's hilarious. So you've got a lot of tourists from China and Japan using selfie sticks and trying to take photos, but there's no photos. And so this is constantly these Roman guards going, no photos, no photos. And then over the PA, you just hear this every like 5 minutes, silenzio, silenzio, in the Sistine Chapel, silenzio. So it's very uncomfortable.
What do they think's going to happen if you do a selfie with Michelangelo?
Oh, man, they're very anti-selfie sticks in a lot of... You go to the Louvre.
I've got to admit, it does kill the vibe if there's a lot of sticks wandering around and the earphones on the end of them.
Yeah. Well, milk.
Milk.
I love milk. I don't drink it a lot, but I do. I have it on cereal.
From what I'm told, a friend of mine said I'm A positive, and he does diet based on blood
type. Is this your food map again?
F- Stafford, man. Well, he whether I listened to it, he said, you can't drink milk. You can't digest it.
So you don't drink milk at all?
Oh, I do.
You have coffee, don't you?
I have coffee and...
Cereal?
Yeah, but I usually have almond milk.
Almond milk.
Is that... It's a manly almond milk,
that's
though.
That's a waste product.
It's a double whack. It's a double short.
It's just almond water.
It is. It says on the box, guaranteed to have 5% almonds. You're going, really? You want to admit to that? Only 5%?
I did a gig for Almond Farmers.
Oh, you
night.
Did? No, I don't.
Yeah, I told you, okay. Remember? Almond Farmers. And I said, what's the go with almond milk? And they just laughed. They think it's a great joke. But it's been good for them. Because I think it was a waste product, and now it's been turned into
what makes them a waste product of making? Oh, no.
I think they just squeeze almonds, don't they? And that's how they get almond milk. Is that how they get almond milk? I think it's how they get almond milk.
Geez, it'd be hard if it was like making wine. You'd have to sort of stomp on them.
Stomp on the almonds. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Ow.
But no, I love. You know what I love? A milkshake.
But you would have been a Big M chocolate milk guy.
Oh yeah, not chocolate, man. Banana.
Banana.
What was your flavour?
I'd go chocolate. And I've got to say, guys who work,
chocolate
milk.
Yeah.
Once you start drinking, it's cold. You can't stop.
Man, it's great. You know, in South Australia, they're more addicted than any other state.
Really?
When I did a gig in Whyalla, I noticed there were lots of youth walking around with big, like some of them walking around with 2 litre things of chocolate milk. And I said to the taxi driver, are they putting something in it? Or he goes, no, it's just they love the chocolate milk.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I love, but you know, Big M. I used to love it when they'd introduce new flavours. Blueberry, remember blueberry? I did research once. There was also, they did bullet milk, which was licorice and chocolate.
Oh, gee.
They did lime.
See, what is it now? Chocolate, strawberry, banana.
Chocolate, strawberry, banana, and in an egg flip. You can get egg flip occasionally. I met the guy that.
You did not.
Yeah, I met the guy who flavoured the Big M. I had him in a radio studio, and he wore a white coat, and he talked about the flavours in terms of notes. He goes, this has got more of coconut note. And he was like a professor. And then he left us all the sand. He goes, I'm working on new flavours here.
Top notes of banana, the bottom notes are more coconut, and there's a little bit of oaty cinnamon flavour in between there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about Blue Heaven before. There was Blue Heaven Big M for a while.
Imagine if you worked at a place like that. Imagine if you were like a taster. That would be a good job for you.
Great job.
You would be a great, not going to say junk food, but...
Food creator.
Food, like Matt Preston of chocolate milk.
Yeah, critic. Critique. Yeah.
Dave.
Critique. Oh, I would love to like make it. Remember when Hamish and Andy made a new chip? They made gravy.
That's right.
Gravy.
Yeah.
But I thought of some good flavours for them, which, you know, I reckon would have been good.
What? Which were?
I had like... You know what? I don't want to say that my ideas have been stolen, but they've been stolen. Garlic bread, I thought of, which I've now seen.
Garlic bread chips.
I've seen garlic bread chips. I reckon that's a good flavour. Garlic bread. Garlic
bread.
Great
idea.
What were the other ones I had? I didn't have gravy. I didn't come with gravy. I've got to admit, they came up with that one. Chicken parmigiana was another one of my thoughts.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, you see a lot of experimentation these days with chips. There's just a lot of weird stuff going on.
But when you do really close your eyes and taste it, do you think it tastes anything like it, really?
No. Chicken.
Chicken
chips,
and chicken, no.
It's very...
No.
Salt and vinegar tastes like vinegar, though.
Yeah. That's your standard issue.
Milk.
Anyway,
I love milk.
Milk.
I don't drink it much, but I do love it. I don't think it's good for my food map. I remember Hughesy used to say, don't drink weight, because he remembers getting a lift in his cousin's station wagon, and his cousin was very fat, and the floor was just littered with BMs.
Yeah.
Because I reckon flavoured milk and milkshakes are a good way to put
on
weight.
And whack a bit of sugar in there, and it's perfection.
Man, you got a good milkshake. What flavour milkshake would you get? Your chocolate, are you?
Yeah, probably.
I'm banana. I have a banana milkshake. Vanilla, banana.
I always liked Tony Martin's joke. I don't know why I never forgot it, which was he opened, it was a bit of stand-up. He comes out and he goes, I'm the guy that invented the milk carton.
Yeah.
And it was so successful, I wrote a book about it. And then he tries to open the book and he can't open the... because I now need glasses.
To open the milk.
So all I'm saying to the people out there who make the milk, can you make the open sign...
Mm.
Because it's 50-50. So I'm like, 50-50, I'm going to have a crack. And then you go the wrong end.
Yeah.
open the wrong end. It's not going to close properly in the fridge.
Nah.
Yeah, you know, the rest of the family's going to go, oh, God, who did this? And sometimes I'll go, okay, I'll open it both ends then. I bet both ways. Yeah, that's even worse.
Worse.
Yeah.
Do you remember getting the milk delivered?
Yes, that was my job, put the milk bottles out.
Oh, yeah.
Going back.
We had a horse.
Oh, God.
How old are we?
Millennials are tuning out now. Just going, God.
We had a horse because my brother used to get a lift to the kinder.
Yeah.
But that was in the 70s. The horses were still around the early 70s, apparently.
Yep, that'd be right. Mm. You'd hear it coming down the street.
Yeah.
Yep. And we'd have a little crate.
Yes.
And put that. How many would you put out? Two or three?
Four. We had four kids, so four bottles.
Yeah. And we used to drink milk at school.
Did you? Oh, yeah. We had the milk left out in the sun with the
with the cream on top.
Yeah.
What do they get now?
No, they don't get that.
Nothing.
Some schools have breakfast programs for poorer kids and stuff that can't afford it. But
that's nice.
Yeah, but we used to get that milk. They used to sit there curdling up until recess in the sun.
So we've got something really healthy, wholesome, good.
And Al Capone.
Al Capone who's dealing in
I need some think time. You know who I met the other day? I met a woman who used to be a Big M girl. She was a Big M girl and a Carlton Bluebird.
She was.
You remember Carlton Bluebirds?
Don't worry. I'm trying to be woke here.
She was a Big M girl.
I can't say anything. It's not appropriate.
Have you met Big M girls before? Surely.
Yes.
In the early days of comedy.
Yeah.
Girls would come to you and go, this is me, we're Big M girls.
I've got to be honest, when you were young, Big M girls were
They were up there.
Kerry Armstrong?
Was she a Big M girl? She might have been. She was a weather girl.
Well, maybe I got that wrong. Sorry, Kerry, if you weren't. So I'm not going to say anything about that.
You've gone to another place.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be a creepy old man.
Hey, but we weren't old men in the 70s and the 80s when Big M girls were at their peak. We were young men. But
now we need a male equivalent, which Big M boys. That sounds worse. I was a Big M boy.
Oh, a Big M boy.
It's like when I was a kid, I didn't get a G.I. Joe. I got a Ken doll.
Look, you know what? Women always had AFL players to look at and put on their walls. There was always good-looking AFL players.
Mm.
And women used to talk about them.
Mm.
They still do. So don't worry about it.
I had the Piz Bowen girl on my wall.
The what?
Piz Bowen.
Who's Piz Bowen?
A suntan
cream. Oh, yes.
Piz Bowen? Yeah. Piz Bowen.
Yeah,
Piz Bowen.
I know
Piz
what you mean.
Yeah. Anyway, can I make a request?
Yeah.
Because Al Capone, gangster.
Gangster.
Who's your favourite TV gangster? I hope you're going to say someone that I'm...
Tony Soprano?
Yes. Okay. Can we have... There's a scene in Sopranos that I really like where his therapist has sacked him, said you can't come back.
Yeah.
He comes back into the room. And the reason she's... I think the reason she sacked him... Well, we're not sacked him, but you know. Is that he's been telling her about the underworld stuff and now she's going to get whacked.
That's right.
She's going to get whacked because she knows too much stuff and they're after her. Great scene. And the way he deals with it matter-of-factly is just brilliant.
I'm going to work on this problem with the people that pose a threat to you and I'll take care of it and you'll be able to come back.
My God. People are going to get murdered, aren't they?
Don't worry about those distractions. You keep your eye on the ball. And I know what you're thinking.
You have no idea what I'm thinking.
You're thinking you're going to go to the cops, but they're not going to help you because you can't give them anything. Don't be stupid, even in the short term. Get the fuck out of town.
Tony Soprano there.
James Gandolfini.
And the female actress is...
I don't know.
She was great.
Sam?
She was in Married to the Mob.
Sam. She was very good in that. Those scenes were...
What's the name of this therapist in... Sam, what's the name of the actress who played the therapist in The Sopranos?
Lorraine Bracco.
Lorraine Bracco, Sam, yeah. Jennifer Murphy was the character.
Interesting, because Tony Soprano, flawed.
Yeah, flawed.
Flawed.
Great
character. Problems with the mental illness, but tough guy all the same.
Oh, yeah, tough guy. Now, what's the connection? Have you got a theory?
I've got a theory, and okay, I didn't even deduce this, you know, from our discussion. It's kind of, they're so far apart. But I'm going to say Al Capone, Prohibition. I'm going to say that he used a certain bottling style to bottle his alcohol that was stolen or were used by the milk companies, whatever he did, And they probably still do it to this very day, the way that he set up.
He set up the bottling process.
I mean, obviously, you've got to take the milk out of the cows, but then you've got to bottle it.
I got to say, I think off milk killed him. I know he died of a heart attack, but maybe it was off milk that killed him, put him in the grave.
Interesting.
Sam, what is the connection?
After Prohibition finished, Chicago gangster Al Capone invested in the milk industry. When his brother became sick from drinking off milk, Capone lobbied the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to add expiration dates to milk bottles. And to this day, expiration dates on milk bottles exist thanks in part to Al Capone.
Well done. You got it, really.
Well, not really. I said someone got sick. Well, you kind of got it too, but because of Al Capone, we have use-by dates now on milk. That's incredible.
What's interesting is every time you look at it now, the use-by date, it's going to click Al Capone's, it's going to come into your
head. Al Capone.
From this show.
So you did
from our friend.
Christy from
the Sunshine Coast.
Let's hope she's not stuck in traffic listening to this. But thank you very much. That was excellent.
Al Capone. There we go. He did some good things. One good thing.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
It is a bit weird, though, because what's he done? He's gone. He's seen the milk industry as an opportunity. Would be to launder money, would it?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe laundering money. I don't know.
You get
maybe just like milk.
You get paid cash, don't you, sometimes?
Occasionally, but I declare it all. But yeah, I've never thought of setting up a milk business to launder my money.
Have you thought of any way you could launder money?
Set up a milkshake shop. Well, people, you know, like in Breaking Bad, they buy a car wash.
Yeah.
You've got to get a big retail outlet. But now there's a lot of cards and stuff. It's going to be harder and harder to launder money.
I don't use any. I mean,
you don't use cash at all?
Well, I'm just trying. When would you use cash?
Just for small purchases.
But you can buy anything. It's tap and go.
Yeah.
It's more rub.
I know.
It's more rub and go, actually, because I find I rub mine, I don't tap it.
I wave it. It's more wave and go, like a magic.
Do you get embarrassed when you can't find the right bit to rub? As you go, now there's ones you've got to rub on the side.
On the top.
You've got to rub on the top. You're going, well, I didn't know that was the rub bit.
I didn't know. Or then, if it's over $100, they want your PIN number.
Yeah.
But guess what's gone up since tap and go?
What?
Theft. Credit card theft. Gone through the roof.
But hang on. Meaning?
I mean, the people nick your credit card and they just go tap and go, tap and go, tap and go down the street.
Oh, yeah, but that's just actually doing the credit card. It's not actually taking your number and then going out. But
no.
Yeah, you can, if you lose your credit card, then you just make that phone call to the bank and go, stop it right now.
Yeah.
And
happened to me the other day. Someone in America had bought $2,000 worth of stuff on my card. But she said, the woman on the end who rang me up from the bank, and good on them, said they try out a zero purchase first. She said you can see them trying it out.
A zero purchase.
Well, she reckons it's just people sitting at computers or a bot working out a number that suddenly works for them. And then they'll try a zero purchase somewhere.
And they go big time.
Yeah, they go big time.
So they got your number.
Here with 2G. Well, you got to get a new credit card. The banks can't do anything about it. They just go, you just got to cancel that one and get a new one.
Which I'm surprised I did the other day. Came in about 2 days. I'm not applauding the banks.
I know, it's really quick. It's quick these days.
And you ring the lady. Very nice. She brings it up. He goes, oh, no, looks all fine. Nothing's happening. Because when you have that terrible feeling where you've lost the credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got to trace your... I was driving to the airport one day, and as I'm pulling up to the car park, I look down and go, my credit card. Because you need the credit card to get to the car park. Bang, 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 bang. By the time I recognised it and I got to the car park, I'd rang, back in the day when there was Borders, and I rang Borders in Carlton.
Oh, you left your credit card there.
And I said, did I? And they rang. And then within 2 minutes, they it's here. You can come pick it up.
Wow. There you go.
So I didn't have to cancel it.
That's good, isn't it?
Mm. Anyway, not a great story. Okay, not a great story.
But historical, story, you mentioned Borders, which I'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
Oh, my brother had his credit card stolen in the 90s, and the police showed him the statement. It was hilarious. The guy had just gone down Chapel Street. Boost Juice, had a juice there, got some stuff at Sports Girl.
Bang,
just
bang,
down, you
bang,
can see him bang. Moving down Chapel Street.
Do you still cover up when you go to a...
No. When I do banking gigs, I always joke to the guys, oh, you spend billions on security, but when I go to the ATM, the best you've got is cover your hand with your other hand.
And do you put blue tack over your camera on your computer?
Yeah, my old partner does, yeah. Yeah, she believes, yeah.
Because my friend who came around for New Year's Eve, She got the email, They said we have footage of you watching greasy, dirty movies.
Really?
Greasy.
Well, add him to a comic, Joel.
That's how you pick it, though. You pick it that it's not translating very well.
Yeah.
I never heard anyone call porn greasy.
That actually happened to a guy called Joel. Oh, he's a British comic, and he came out here for a bit, and it happened to him. They did actually have footage of him because they sent it to him. Of him reacting to...
I've never heard... No. He reckons... I think that's good stand-up. I don't reckon it's true.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know.
Because he probably went, if I was, here's a funny idea of what I, how I would be...
Do you reckon we're getting filmed now? Should I put my pants back on?
Should I take my underpants you should off put, my head?
You should do that.
Hi, I'm Amelia Ball, editor of Halliday Wine Companion magazine, and you can join me for our brand new Halliday podcast. As we rummage through cellars and get the expert's knowledge you need to get the most out of your cellar.
Taking a bottle of wine, putting it into a cool, dark place for a long time, crossing all your fingers and toes, and it coming out beautiful.
We recently sold one for $300,000.
Hear the Halliday Wine Companion podcast where you're listening now, or go to winecompanion.com.au.